This year is brought to you by TorahWeb.org.
Thank you very much. About 100 years ago, there was a Jewish thinker who spoke and wrote under his pseudonym, Achad Ha'am. And it's interesting, in his autobiography, he writes that when he was a teenager, he was very much into learning. And the local rabbi would sometimes consult him on serious shailas when they had shailas of agunas. He would help work out the shaila. But then he writes in his autobiography that on one occasion, when he was a teenager, his father took him to visit Sarigera, they were chassidim. His father took him to visit the city, Sarigera, where the chassidish rebbe was. And his practice was that he would be Mavis Sedra every Shabbos with Rashi and the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam. So the Chassidim were making fun of him. What's he doing the Ibn Ezra for? By the Chassidim, they have a vort that Rashi's commentary on Chumash is Kula Emes, every word of Rashi is Emes. The Ramban writes Halacha and he writes Kabbalah, but he writes once in a while, he writes a little bit of philosophy. They say the Ramban is Rubai Emes. The Rashbam is, Rashbam wrote on the Gemara. Rashbam is the older brother of the Rabbi Natam. He learned with Rashi. Rashbam learned with Rashi. When Rashi passed away, Rabbi Natam is the younger brother. He was a little child. But the Rashbam learned with Rashi. But the Rashbam has all, every so often, his commentary on Chumash, he has some wild interpretations. So the, by the Chassidim, they say the Rashbam is Miksas Emes. And the Ibn Ezra is Kula Sheker. They don't like the Ibn Ezra's Kula Sheker. So they were humiliating this teenage boy why he spends time studying the Ibn Ezra, which is Kula Sheker, why he studies the Rashbam. And he writes that that's a, in his autobiography, he claims that that's what turned him off from Yiddishkeit. And later on, he became an atheist. He didn't believe in anything. And his, they published a collection of letters that he wrote on different occasions. So he had a son who was studying in Hebrew University in Eretz Israel. He lived in Europe. And the son was studying in Hebrew University. So the son would go to the library and learn Gemaris and learn Tanakh, Begili Rosh Bethada Yarmulke. And there were some observant people, religious people, who felt insulted why he's learning Begili Rosh. They asked him to put on a yarmulke. So the son sent a letter to the father, is he permitted to put on, they don't believe in anything, they're atheists, is he permitted to put on a yarmulke that they shouldn't be angry at him? Are you allowed to put on a yarmulke when you learn? So the father said, big deal, put on, put on the yarmulke already, what do you have to rub them the wrong way? So he used to write essays. My father was a rabbi all of his life, so my father used to get Anglo-Jewish newspapers and magazines in the mail that he never subscribed to. I remember as a little boy, I used to sometimes read them. So one of the, sort of a magazine, and a news, a monthly, I think, I'm not sure exactly how many times it came out during the course of the year, there was a publication. It was called JWB Circle, Jewish Welfare Board Circle. I remember the middle page was always book reviews. So I used to read the book reviews. So there was a book review, apparently there was a conservative rabbi who wrote about Achad Ha'am that he used to deliver. They had a whole group of writers, Jewish thinkers, philosophers, and they used to deliver papers, and then they would sometimes publish what they had delivered. So he writes a whole surprising book. I read the review of the book that people didn't realize that Achad Ha'am was a plagiarist. He knew German and he knew French. And he would read essays that were written in German and French by sociologists, and he would just write them over in Hebrew. And the listeners didn't realize that these were not his original ideas. They never told anybody. So when I read that, I had that in mind. So then I realized years later, there's a famous essay by Achad Ha'am about precious, Allah precious. The whole essay is lifted lock, stock, and barrel from the Mesillas Yesharim. Zilsham has a whole chapter on precious, and he quotes Mamar Chazal, and Achad Ha'am quotes every single Mamar Chazal, every pasuk in the same order that the Mesillas Yesharim has it. The conservative rabbi who wrote the book to explain that Haram was a plagiarist, he just knew French and German. He knew he was a plagiarist from the essays by the sociologist, but he didn't realize he plagiarized the whole famous essay, Allah Precious. Interesting. So during the lifetime of Haram, I don't know why he picked such a strange pseudonym. It has a very negative connotation. Kimach Haram es Ishtecha. Why did he pick that as his pen name? But during his lifetime, there was a suggestion that in order to resolve the issue of anti-Semitism that was all over the world, the Jews should already incorporate, this suggestion was made by Jewish people, non-observant Jews, the Jews should incorporate the Gospels into the Tanakh. And the Goyim won't hate us anymore. And I thought we should include the Gospels into the Tanakh. So Haram was an atheist, but he was opposed to the suggestion. And he wrote a whole essay about this. So he says, if you incorporate the Gospels into the Tanakh, you'll have a contradiction in Eibay, because there are certain ideas in the Tanakh that are contradictory to ideas in the Gospels. So he brings out, I remember from years ago, there's one idea that the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells a Shaila, two people traveling in the desert, Shnaim Halchem B'Midbar, V'yarechem Mehem Kito Shamayim, one of them has a canteen of water that's enough to keep him alive, but the other one doesn't have any water. And if I'll share the water with my travel mate, there's not enough for both of us to die, so we're both going to die. So am I obligated to share the water with the other fellow? We should both die? Or do you say, no, I can drink all the water? So the Gemara presents a dispute between an unknown figure, Ben Petura. The Gemara quotes, they never quote him anywhere else in the Gemara. So he says they have to divide the water in half and they should both die. Rabbi Kiva said it's not true. It says, you should see to it that the other person should live along with you. Means first, you take care of yourself. You have to be selfish. And then you worry about the other person. But if I'm going to divide the water, we're both going to die. That doesn't make any sense. So Achad Ha'am has his Einfall. He thinks that Ben Petur is an early Christian scholar. He says he wasn't the Tana, an Einfall. And the Christians believed in altruism, that just like God does for other people, God doesn't need anything, so he doesn't do anything for himself. He does everything for other people. So they believe a lot that you have to do for other people, even if it's going to be detrimental to you yourself. And Rabbi Akiva presents the Jewish view against the Catholic view, that first human beings have to be selfish, you have to do for yourself. After you take care of yourself, then you have an obligation to take care of other people as well. So he says we cannot incorporate the Gospels into the Tanakh because this is an inconsistency with respect to this issue. So it's interesting that even though he was an atheist, but many Orthodox Jews read what he had to say. And you have every so often, Rav Kook wrote a lot of essays. There's several essays that Rav Kook has that are really in response to what Achad Ha'am wrote. Now they publish a lot of commentaries on Rav Kook's essays on his farm. So they point out that every so often he has an essay that's in response to something. So Rav Shimon Shkap also. Rav Shimon Shkap put out his famous sefer with his Chidush Torah. And the introduction to his Shari Yosher, he has a whole essay, an interesting essay, on the Sifroa, the comment that the Tanoim make on the opening pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. Kedoshim tihiyu ki kodosh ani Hashem alakechem. We should act in a holy fashion because we were all created b'tzelem alakim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs us, v'halachta b'drachov, we should preserve the tzelem alakim that we have already. We were born with the tzelem alakim. Everyone was born with the tzelem alakim. That's how we usually assume. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzel means all human beings were created B'Tzel Malakim. Some say the Kuzari seems to understand that only Adam Rishon was created B'Tzel Malakim. And this B'Tzel Malakim was only transmitted to one of his children. Adam Sheisenish Kenem Halalel, the opening Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. And then when it went to Avram and Yitzchak and Yankov succeeded in transmitting the Tzelem Malakim to all of his children. That's called Mitoso Shlema, all of his children have Tzelem Elokim, and now it remains that only the Jewish people have Tzelem Elokim. That's what the Kuzari seems to say, but we don't usually assume like that. We usually assume Chaviv Adam goes on all of mankind, Chaviv and Yisrael, Shenikra, Bonim, Lamakam. We have a deeper degree of Tzelem Elokim, but we assume that non-Jews also have Tzelem Elokim. So we have the Pasuk after the Terechecha, V'halachta B'drachav, that we were all created by Tzelem Elokim, and we should preserve that Tzelem Elokim by imitating the ways of God. Otherwise, what does it mean we're going to imitate God? When sometimes a little boy makes believe that he's a doctor. So makes believe he's taking their blood pressure and whatever. Maybe someday he'll become a doctor. The little girl makes believe that she's a mommy. So she puts on a big bonnet and wears high shoes and she gives patch to the younger children. That's the definition of a mommy. Someday she will become a mommy and she'll act like that. So that makes sense that you imitate, the little boy imitates a doctor, a conductor on a train, whatever, he punches a hole in everybody's ticket, whatever they do. But that makes sense. Why should a human being want to imitate God? God is considering retiring. He's going to take over, the person going to take over. No, the answer is no, it's not ridiculous. It's not that Allah the Bidrach, we should make believe that we are somebody whom we are not. You're going to have a nervous breakdown if you do that. It means we should preserve the Tzelem Elokim. We were all created by Tzelem Elokim. V'alach l'drach, we should preserve it in Tzelem Elokim. So here also the Pasuk says, Kadosh M'tiyah K'Kodosh Ani Hashem Elokech, Kadosh Baruch Hu has Kedusha, we should act in such a way that we have Kedusha. That's the Pashim Shat in the Pasuk. So the Tanoim have a comment, Rav Shimon Shkop, in the introduction to his Sefer, Shari Yosha. In the introduction, he quotes this passage from the Tanoim, from the Sifra, in that Pasuk. Kedoshim Yihiyu, we should act in a way of holiness. Yochol Kamoni, maybe one will mistakenly think that we should act just like God. To the same extent that God is holy, we should be holy also. Tamaloi Mano, Ki Kodesh Ani, Kidushasi Lemaila Mikdushaschem. Where did the Tanoim see in the Pasuk that God is on a higher madrega that we will never attain? Why was there a Havamina that we should be able to become like God? And if they think there is such a Havamina, so how do you see from the Pasuk that it's not correct, Tamil? Yochol Kamoni, one might mistakenly think we should act in holiness like God. Where does it say Kedushasi L'mayla M'Kedushaschem? So the recent Svarim explain, you have from by Chassidish Tzadikim and Misnagdim, they all point at the same pshat. The Tanoim sometimes made a drosha on a word in Chumash that's written Molei Achaser in an unusual way. So here the word Kedoshim Tihiyu is spelled without a vav. Usually Kadosh spelled Kuf Dalet Vav Shin. Here it's spelled Kedoshim Kuf Dalet Shin Yud Mem, missing a vav. Kikadosh Ani, the word is spelled Molei Vav. It says Kuf Dalet Vav Shin. That's how the Tanoim saw that Kedushas Lemaile Mikdushaschem. Kadosh Molei with a vav means a fuller degree of Kedusha, as opposed to human beings who cannot attain such a high level. So that's the mocker where the Tanoim got from. But what does it mean, Kedushas? Why? What would we have thought that we should do to imitate the ways of God to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that we have, that the Pasuk is telling us not to do? So Rav Shimon Shkop suggests that that's what it's referring to. He doesn't say Achad Ha'am. He says he thinks that's what it's referring to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh. He's never selfish. He never does anything for himself. He only does for others. He didn't create the world. We usually buy things, or we create things, or we make things, because we're missing something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not missing anything. He's not incomplete. He doesn't have any tzarachim. He doesn't have any needs. He only creates and he does for others, never does for himself. So that's what the Tanoim said. Yochol Kamoni, one might think that we should be altruistic, like the Christians preach, you should do for others. We shouldn't act like that. So Rav Shimon Shkop has a comment on what Hillel is quoted as saying in Pirkei Avos. Yesterday was Perek Aleph in Pirkei Avos. So the Pasuk, so the Mishnah quotes Hillel used to say, Emein anili mili. Human beings have to be selfish. You have to do for yourself. However, what's the definition of yourself? I'm only going to do things for myself. What about my wife? What about my children? What about my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren? But if my definition of me is only me, myself, and I, moani, so what am I? Human beings are not like God. God does for others. He doesn't do anything for himself. Human beings cannot function like that. We were created in a different way. We have to do for ourselves, but we have to develop the attitude that ourselves doesn't doesn't only refer to me, myself, and I. It refers to my family. It refers to the whole Jewish community where I live. It refers to the whole Klal Yisrael all over the world. And it refers to all of humanity as an extension of myself. We have to do for ourselves. And that's all an extension of ourselves. And a lot of times, we have to do for others, even though it detracts, even though it's taking away from our ability to function for ourselves. Let's say when you have a war, so the first group of soldiers who go in to fight are probably all going to get killed. The first group wasn't going to get killed. After they began the war, then the second group stands a chance of surviving. Or whenever you go to war, usually we have a klal that pikuach nefesh is derech kol ha'torah kula. We have an obligation to keep all the mitzvahs and not to do any averus. But if a person is not healthy, we tell him you're not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur. If there's a svek sveka of sofik sakon, you're not allowed to be a machmer. You have to eat on Yom Kippur. On Tisha B'Av is upgeret. Tisha B'Av is only made the rabbanon. Yom Kippur is menator. Very rare that you say yehorag v'yavar. But when it comes to Muhammad, even let's say, those who are attacking the Jewish people are not interested in killing anybody. They just want to take away part of Eretz Yisrael. We have the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and everything is controlled by the Israeli government, by the Jewish government. So the Gemara says, and it's quoted Lahaloch and Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos, if the Nochrim come to take over a city on the border, instead of being under the control of the Jewish government, they want to take it to be part of their country. They're not putting, let's say, theoretically, they're not putting anyone's life in danger at all. Nonetheless, we have an obligation to go to war, to lose lives, to put our soldiers in Sakona in order to save all that land that it should be part of Eretz. So why such a big mitzvah? To have the bigger mitzvah that you have to give up your life for that. Why? The answer is because Eretz Yisrael al pi din is considered the national homeland of the Jewish people. It sounds like a secular concept, but it's not. Al pi din, Eretz Yisrael is the tziruf of Klal Yisrael, and it's al pi din, the national homeland of the Jewish people. And if the Nochrim will take over parts of the areas on the border, and it will no longer be part of Eretz Yisrael, it's if the Klal Yisrael is affected. Klal Yisrael is weaker. So the individual is mechuyav to give up his life in order to save the Klal Yisrael. And even though no one's life is in danger, if any part of Eretz Yisrael will be taken away by the neighbors, by the neighboring countries, that's as if it's a pogea in Klal Yisrael. So many of the Rabbanim have pointed out, I'm not in the practicing rabbinate, so I didn't notice this, but they say that so many of the Balabatim in their shuls are busy now organizing missions to visit Eretz Yisrael, or raising funds to help out the soldiers. I remember many years ago, I spent two summers in Kiryat Arba. Kiryat Arba, as they say, is a stone's throw from Hebron. That's the expression that they used to say. They were throwing stones all the time there. So I remember there was one Rebbe, there's a big yeshiva in Kiryat Arba. I was giving Shiram two summers there. So one of the Rabbeim was in a tank. He was in a war. And the tank, they threw a bomb into the tank. And the opening on top of the tank was all on fire. And he had to save his life. He had to go through. His whole face was burnt. He looked awful. He was absolutely awful. His wife couldn't take it, and she asked for a get. So he gave her a get. He was a rabbi in the yeshiva. He would sit in the yeshiva all day long, and he would put on a mask that had cream on the mask to put on his face for half an hour. Then he'd take it off for half an hour. Then he'd put it back on for half an hour all day long. And he used to give a shiva. He looked absolutely awful. So, unfortunately, the Israeli army, the Israeli government, doesn't have enough money to pay for all of the protective uniforms that the soldiers need. So there was one group who was involved in in freeing the four hostages that they freed on Shabbos. One of my sons-in-law was involved in that also. His group didn't know till after Shabbos what they were doing. After Shabbos, they found out that they freed four hostages. They didn't know in advance. They were just given instructions, you have to do this, that, and the other thing. And they had to do a lot of crawling on the ground, so they needed gear. They needed stuff to put on their knees that they shouldn't ruin their knees. Then they needed something to put on their faces to protect them. There may be a fire. So a group of Balabatim put together a fortune of money. The main person who did it was a fellow who went to college with me. He jokes, he says, I used to cheat off of him. We were friendly. He said, I used to cheat off of him on the exams. He's a lawyer, and he gave a fortune of money. He had others. They gave from Woodmere, from Young Israel in Woodmere. And they raised money, and they bought all the gear that they needed. They bought the face masks to protect them from any fire. It turned out they didn't need that, but just in case. And they used the gear for the legs that they shouldn't ruin their knees and so on. And they were all protected. So some of the Balabatim spent a lot of time raising the money for that gear. And people are raising money to have missions to visit Eretzot, to be mechazik the soldiers, to be mechazik the families, to be Menachem Mobile, and so on. It takes up a lot of time. So Rabbonim say that instead of people being nervous during Chodesh Elul to work on themselves, some of my best friends talk Lashon Hara. So we should work on that. Some of us, when we daven, we don't pay attention to the words. We say brachas, we're not paying attention. Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatola. We're saying brachas, we're not mechaven at all. We have a lot to work on ourselves. So instead of people working on themselves in Chodesh Elul, they're spending all the time working on helping out in the situation in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, what can we do about this? Well, let's say people who learned in yeshivas enjoy learning, and they want to continue to learn. But do you need people to raise money for the yeshivas? You need people to organize the annual dinner. You need people to be on the tuition committee. You need people to do a lot of work for the day schools, for the shuls. We need other people. We need people to do other work. Not everybody can sit and learn. So what is the din? So the din is that usually we have a din ho'isik b'mitzvah potam an mitzvah. If a person is busy doing one mitzvah, he's not obligated to do any other mitzvah. Even though the mitzvah that he's doing now can be, he can pause and he can come back to the mitzvah tomorrow. And the mitzvah that he's not going to do now, he won't be able to have a chance tomorrow. The mitzvah that he's going to fail to do is mano iveris. Not going to do it now, he's going to miss it. That's the halacha. Ho'isik b'mitzvah potam an mitzvah. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says, Ho'isik b'mitzvah potam an mitzvah only applies to all other mitzvahs except for Talmud Torah. If a person is busy learning, he can't say, I'm not going to daven mincha, I'm not going to shake a lulav, I'm not going to make a seder, I'm busy learning. That's lo'min shalom anos lasos. You have to be lo'min anos lasos. When you're mafsik from learning, in order to do all the mitzvahs are not in competition with the learning. The learning is supposed to lead up to more observance of mitzvahs. So that's what Yerushalmi says, that when it comes to the Talmud Torah, you don't say, ho'isik b'mitzvah potam an mitzvah. That's famous from the Yerushalmi. The Bavli doesn't present it like that. The Bavli says the same thing, but the Bavli says, take for example, let's say one of the boys in the yeshiva gets married and is going to be a Sheva Brachas in Queens or in Brooklyn, and they want to have a van full of boys go celebrate the Sheva Brachas. So there's only room on the van for 20 people. So there are some people who are more interested in learning because they know how to learn better than others. Others are not so strong in learning. So we'll get 20 volunteers. We'll get 20 volunteers to go and to be misameach. It's a mitzvah to be misameach chosen kala when they get married. They're going to get 20 people. If you're not going to get the 20 people, then you have to be mafsik. If it's a mitzvah she'efshel hiskayem al yidei acherim, then you say let the other people do the mitzvah. If they need dafke, one of the rabbis has to go in order to dance with the chosid, in order to say divrei Torah. So they can't get just 20 boys from the yeshiva. One of them has to be his rebbe. So that's mitzvah she'efshel asasad de'acher. But if it's a mitzvah that can be taken care of, they're going to get 20 people to dance and to sing the havanah. So then we say that those who are interested in learning should stay behind, they should learn. A lot of times on the yeshiva front, it can't be taken care of by other people. We need you. You have more seichel in this area. You're a businessman. You understand better. how to run, how to administer a yeshiva, how to raise money for the yeshiva, for the annual dinner, or whatever it is. So then we say, even though you have other people who are volunteering, or they have other people whom they want to get to do the work is not going to be done to the same with the same success as if you would take care of it. So again, you're obligated to be mafzik your learning in order to take care of the tzorchei haklal. The tzorchei haklal take precedence over the tzorchei hayochid. Okay, what's going to be? We all talk Lashon Hara and we all love him without kavana, so what's going to be? So, okay, so we'll, when the war will be over and we won't have to be busy with the other things, so we'll be able to work on ourselves. We can't always do the work that we have to do during Chodesh Elul. But that is the klal. The tzorchei hatzibur take precedence over the tzorchei yochid. Even the pikuach nefesh of the tzibur takes precedence over the pikuach nefesh of the yochid. They say the Chafetz Chaim had a yeshiva, Radin, and he used to encourage some of the boys every so often to be oisek in Yoni Chesed. So they had a taina, what do you mean? It's going to take away hours and hours and hours from learning. So he told them, the Gemara tells us that all of the time that you waste, that you spend on doing Chesed, will be at, you'll have an Arichas Yamin. The Tanakh promises us that you will be paid back all of that time that you lose, the hours and the days and the weeks that you lose on doing Chesed. You will be given an Arichas Yamin, because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, based on the Psukim in Novi, that all the descendants of Beis Eli, Eli HaKohen, used to die at a young age, at the age of 40. They wouldn't reach 40. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, it won't be, the Beis Eli will not get a kapora ba'oilo b'zevach. The Gemara says, ba'oilo b'zevach, they won't get a kapora, but b'chesed they will. Why, if they do chesed, why will they get a kapara? Because all the time that the Chafetz Chaim interpreted, all the time that you spend on taking care of tzorchei tzibur will be given back to you later. So you're not losing that time. So you'll live longer than 40. You'll live another 5 years. If you donated 5 years to take care of tzorchei tzibur, you'll be given another 5 years after the age of 40. So we, traditionally, we dedicate this season of the year, Chodesh Elul, in preparation for Hashem Yom Kippur, to taking care of what we have to work on ourselves. But this year, I don't think it's a condemnation of the Jewish people. I think it's a milah. This is what the halacha requires. The Gemara says, commenting on the pasuk in the end of Megillas Esther, that Mordechai HaYehudi was Ratzel L'Roy Bechov. He was appreciated by the majority. That's how the Gemara understands. One could interpret Ratzel L'Roy Bechov to a multitude of the Jews. The Gemara doesn't understand. The Gemara says Roy means a majority of the Jews. The minority of the Jews, many of the Rabbanim from the Sanhedrin, stayed away from Mordechai. Why? Because he was Isaac in Pikuach Nefesh. The Gemara says, Talmud Torah is more important than Pikuach Nefesh. But when someone's life is b'sakana, you have to be mevater on the Talmud Torah, you have to take care of it, because the halacha requires you have to take care of it. And still, nonetheless, many of them felt that he should have tried to get someone else to take care of it. He felt he was the best one for the job. Mordechai Yehudi felt he'll do a much better job of the pikuach nefesh than the other candidates. So true, in the hierarchy of halacha, Talmud Torah is much more important than Pikuach Nefesh. But the halacha said, Pikuach Nefesh is derech kol haTorah kula. So you have to be osik in the tzorchei tzibur. Baruch Hashem should give us all koiches, we should have hatzloche, and we should realize that we're all part of the Klal Yisrael, and the tzorchei hatzibur take precedence over the tzorchei hayachid. We are not like the Christians recommend, altruistic. We have to do things for ourselves. You have to be selfish. However, shanili atzmi moni, me doesn't just mean me. Me means me, my family, my community where I live. All of Klal Yisrael is an extension of me and my community and the whole world, all of mankind is an extension. So we have to take care of the tzorchei hatzibur, even at the expense of taking care of our own tzorach. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us all aksiv v'achsim etoiva this year for many years to come.